First line of the message tonight, the power of God is available to all who will ask and yield. That's so true. That is true. It's true. That's true. That's very, 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 very true. Right there. That's the whole message right there from beginning to end. The power of God is available to all who will ask and yield. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. You know, when did we stop having fun with God? God wants to have fun with us. I mean, this is serious business we're doing, life and death situation. How many know, without Christ, people go to a Christless eternity? Come on, someone. Who wants to be with somebody that's sourpuss all the time? God's not a sourpuss man. He made fun. He created fun. He created laughter. He created good stuff. We got enough. The world's given us enough bad news. God just wants to have fun with us. We need it. Who wants to ask anybody to come in, you know, look like we've been baptized in pickle juice, you know? And don't, you know, don't say that, brother. You might, you know, don't get all in the flesh now. You're laughing and you're falling down and you're doing all that's in the flesh, you know. Well, that's not God. And God says, man, I just want you to have fun. You're not going to be long in that body. You might as well have fun in that body. Come on, someone. The power of God is available to all who will ask and yield. It's up to you how much power you want. Gauged. God, I'll take this much and I don't want any more. God will answer your prayer. How many know God's power is limitless? I'd venture to guess if He gave us all His power, we wouldn't last. But I sure want to try. God, give me everything you got. Can we pray that prayer tonight? God, give me everything you got. Come on and mean it. Because if you really mean it. Hallelujah! Oh, man. Oh, man. To see a church raised up. Oh, God, in these end times. Like you promised, Lord. People are afraid of it. People are afraid of letting themselves go. We're all, you know, in control, you know. We're in control. And we are. I mean, we're not going to get to a place we can't. But I want to get to a place where, like the prophet said, you know, I enjoyed the ankle deep water. I enjoyed the hip deep water. But I want to get into it where there is no bottom. And stay there. Come on, someone. Who said that originally? Somebody said that here, didn't they? Oh, you said that? Dead fish go with the flow. Want to deposit something in you tonight that if I don't get it deposited, that's okay. The Lord will take care of it later. I don't know how far I'm going to make it, but I'm going to attempt to obey the Lord. Asking is the easy part. Asking God is the easy part. Asking for His power. Last week we talked about the anointing. God, bring your anointing, that heavy weight of your presence. Asking is the easy part because He wants to come fill us more than we want Him to fill us. But because of his creation, because of what he did, he allows us free will. Free will can get us into trouble. It's the yielding that's hard. Because when we yield to the Lord, we give up full control to him. God, I don't want to control anything anymore. I want you to be in charge of my whole, all my faculties. I want you to be in charge of all my everything that I have stewardship over. I just give it to you. I push everything over the line, God. I want you to be all that you can be. And then God begins to use his church like he always wanted to. We're so steeped in tradition, you and I. Even us Pentecostals, we're so steeped in tradition. There are certain ways we do things. There are certain, you know, if somebody's powerful in the spirit, you know, we pray like they do. Shundai, you know, everybody goes, Shundai. You know. How many know God's made you unique? God brings his word. It is powerful and digs into our very hearts. He says he'll give us the desires of our heart. What is your desire? Signs, wonders, and miracles are for the church. The Holy Spirit seems to be the one we limit because when he is manifested, we are visited with power, signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what God does when he shows up. Come on, somebody. God's not one of us to just hang out. We want to hang out. We can hang out with each other and have a good time. But when God shows up and manifests, he changes things. He heals bodies. He changes lives. He saves people. That's what he does. That's his supernatural abilities take precedence over anything we have. So the yielding, when we say, God, come, and he says, okay, I'll come, now I want to just bust out all over. You have your Bibles tonight, Exodus chapter 7. God set a precedent. It's called the law of first mention. If you're a student of the word, when God mentions, so when something is mentioned in the word the first time, you can pull a string and it goes all the way through to the end. So when God wants to manifest himself, he does so with signs, wonders, and miracles. He did it with Moses here in Exodus chapter 7. If you're there, Exodus 7, verse 3, it says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. Egypt. In the land of Egypt. That's what it says right there, Egypt. That's what it is. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders. Now God could have did anything to set the captives free. He could have just showed up in Pharaoh's bedroom and said, Pharaoh, you either let my people go or I'll kill you right now. How many know Pharaoh would have said, go? But God wanted to show himself strong. Matter of fact, if you study, there was gods, every plague was to get rid of a demon god. To show up a demon god every plague. Cleansed the land of Egypt at the time. It didn't stay that way, but it was signs and wonders. Then if you flip over to Exodus 10:1, now the Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 1, go into Pharaoh for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants that I may show these signs of mine before him. When God set the children of Israel free, he did signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. He did the signs and their hearts were hardened, but he did the signs and the wonders. To step out and yield to the Lord in signs and wonders is to welcome the kind of attention that is less than comfortable. It's not comfortable to allow God to use us in signs and wonders. Of course it is here. We're all love each other and we can all, you know, just kind of. But God wants to use our, he wants to manifest through us in our lives, wherever we go. Come on, somebody. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 8, he says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. So when we ask God to come, and God showed, we ask God to come and we just have a normal religious service, how many know God's sitting in the back going, I want to do what I always wanted to do? You can almost hear Him say, just let me out, let me be who I am. You're not listening tonight. Are you listening? God wants to move in a powerful way. Even tonight, He wants to move in a powerful way. I like this where it says, brought us out. If we are to contend with the forces of darkness in the same intensity that we are witnessing, we must be brought out with great signs and wonders. If we're going to beat this spirit that's been released on our country, in our area, I am personally upset that things are happening the way they are. I just read the front page of the Rochester Sentinel today. Arrests for meth has increased 150% this year over last. No more. No more in Jesus' name. Come on, no more in Jesus' name. Can't have our kids anymore. I'm tired of it. I don't want to feel like I'm running behind. I don't want to feel like I'm being attacked by the enemy. I'm not. God's bringing us out with signs and wonders and changing lives. And kids are so hungry. We had a couple kids up here Sunday praying for them, and the power of God would hit them and they'd stiffen up. I said, just let God be God, man. Don't be afraid. Change lives. One of them just is hanging around. They don't want to go anywhere else. They're hanging around Pastor Brad. They're hanging around me. They're texting, calling. Tell me more about God. Tell me more about Jesus. They're hungry. Come on, somebody. God wants to move tonight. Some of you have been praying for stuff for a while. God wants to answer prayer. So much. So much. And I have a feeling it has something to do with the rest of the Lord. I have a feeling, I'm not there yet, I'm building kind of a bridge in faith, of because this thing of entering the rest of God has always intrigued me. Because I'm a guy that's naturally not at rest. I'm always wondering if I got everything that I need. But God says, I want you to put you in a place where it's rest. My signs and wonders can work through you and you're at rest. So I'm trying to tie this together so maybe you can help me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Help me out here, because if we're resting in God, how many know God's in control? If we're resting in God, we're trusting Him with everything. Hebrews chapter 4, 1 says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we need to release our faith to say, God, when You manifest, when we yield to You, signs and wonders are going to be what You do. You're going to change my life when I ask You to. When I give to You and yield to You, You're going to change my life. You're going to heal. You're going to set in order. You're going to do whatever, because You're God and I'm not. I'm not resting in whether I've had enough activity, where I've read the Bible enough, where I prayed enough, where I've did all this work. It's not a gospel of works. How many know it's a gospel of grace? Signs are a mark of God on a person, people, local church, or nation. And God promised that we'd have signs and wonders. Come on, somebody. Shouldn't have to go to a conference to see signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should happen right here, every time we get together. These signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and on and on. These signs, so when Christ comes, He comes. Remember the law first mentioned. When God showed up to set the captives free, He did so with signs and wonders. He's always done that. When Moses was at the burning bush, it was a sign and a wonder. The bush that did not burn. When He spoke from the mountain, it was a sign and a wonder. When Daniel and the lions, on and on and on, it was a sign and a wonder. And God, and now in this time that we're in, It's signs and wonders whenever it's convenient to be signs and wonders. How many know God is a God of inconvenience? I told the story about Paul. It's worth talking about. A friend of mine, Paul Cass, was an elder in my church in New York. And we were in revival. I mean, three nights a week. We were till midnight carrying people to the car. Remember those days? How many lived through those days? Nobody. Nobody in this room? Come on, raise your hand if you lived through those days. One, two, three. Let me tell you what. People would, because you didn't want to shut the church with people in it, so you had to carry them out and put them in their car. Somebody had to drive them home. We had designated drivers. It was like the bar. Come on, somebody. I'm serious. Had people just be on. So Paul was this guy. He said, you know, I'm with you, Pastor. But he said, I'm not ready yet for all that. I'll stand, I'll pray, I'll watch, I'll catch bodies. But I don't know what I think about this. And I said, that's okay. God understands you. You're all right, Paul. So I really love Paul. But Paul was Mr. Businessman, left brain. Left brain. Everything had to make sense. Logical guy, you know. This doesn't make sense to me. Why are people doing this? Why am I having to carry so-and-so to the car? Wake up. Come on, somebody. So one night we're there. It's about midnight. We left. And in New York, they have all-night diners everywhere. So we stopped in an all-night diner, and we were ordering breakfast. And Paul's sitting there, you know, and we're all talking. And all of a sudden, Paul's looking at his menu, and all of a sudden, plink, down on the ground he goes. And he starts to laugh uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. Everybody in the diner, and we had a bunch of, you know, club people, drunk people, they're all like, oh yeah, that guy's drunk. Yeah, he wasn't drunk, he was full of the Holy Ghost, man. We had to carry Paul out, put him in his car, and drive him home. He was never the same again. God healed his body. He had some trouble with his body. He had trouble with his marriage, wasn't doing too well. Just renovated his life, his kids. God just visited in a powerful way. Why? Because he yielded to the Holy Ghost. He finally said yes to the Holy Ghost while he was ordering eggs at a Greek diner. You can imagine. I'll stick that in your theological pipe. Didn't make any sense. Nobody was talking about anything. We were ordering food for Pete's sake. So yield is to surrender or relinquish physical control to another. To yield is to say, God, I'll give you me. You do within me and through me what you want to do. Strong's Concordance says about signs, a sign, listen, is a mark or token that by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others and is known, and an unusual occurrence transcending the common course of nature. Miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the person as being sent by him. Woo! Wait a minute. You mean, and to say that in modern English, signs and wonders will follow the preaching of the word. So that when you tell somebody Jesus is the way, things happen. Jesus is the way, and let me pray. What do you need? What do you need in your body? What do you need? What do you need answered? Because God's ready to answer your prayer. How many know when people are healed and when God touches them, they stand up and take notice? Asking is no problem. Yielding is quite another. And when they yield to God for the first time, you got them. God's got them. Jesus used it. Jesus used signs, wonders, and miracles. John 2, 23. John chapter 2 and verse 23. John 2 and 23. That's what it says. John 2, 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the what? Signs which he did. What do you mean when he did the signs? So what were the signs? Come on, tell me, what were the signs? Healing the sick? You mean it wasn't his knowledge and understanding of the Holy Scriptures? Healing the sick, what else? What other signs did he do? Open blind eyes, what else did he do? Brought a boy back to life. Demons leaving people. What? Yeah, a couple fish. He fed 11,000 people or so. Come on, someone. He used sight, cleansed lepers, raised the dead. He used signs of wonder. Now, as far as I know, Jesus is still alive today, is he not? And I wonder when he got, you know, when he got in his new body, when he was raised from the dead, and his body was, you know, passing through walls and stuff. I wonder if he changed his modus operandi. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't do signs and wonders. No, he still does signs and wonders. He never changed. So belief. Secondly, we've got to know that God is with us. John 6:2. Then a great multitude followed him, because why? They saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. When God showed up, people got healed. Jesus healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray right now. Come on. Pray with me. Oh, God, faith in this room would rise, God. Faith in this room would rise, God. Faith in this room would rise, God. You're here tonight and you said this. I just heard you say this. I'm happy with the freedom I have with these limitations. And God says, I don't want you to have limitations anymore. You've been a prisoner in your mind for all these years. God wants to set you free tonight. He wants to let you out. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're brave enough to stand and say, that's me. If you are, stand, because God, this is your freedom night. Saying yes to God is easy. Yielding to God is quite another thing. Because you don't believe, up to this point, you haven't believed that God can actually make you free. But he can. He died for that. He not only died so you could go and be with him in heaven. That's a given. You're already going there. But he wants to make the rest of your sojourn on this earth, thus saith God, the rest of this sojourn on this earth is going to be free. You're free. Who is that? Who is that tonight? Mighty thing happening. Mighty thing. Come on. Nobody's going to look at you any different. Is that you? Someone here. Come on, someone's here tonight. You've been trapped in your brain. It's just been, you know, the devil just comes and pull. When he pulls, you're condemned. God wants to make you free from all of that. Come on. You're not a prisoner to your past. You're not a prisoner to anything. God's making you free tonight. See, if the world knew, they'd be beating our doors down trying to get. But we kind of hide all this stuff. See, we come into church, we witness this kind of stuff. We go home, we forget to tell people. And we see people bound up all the time. It doesn't take much. Just go to the store. You see all kinds of bound up people. Say, you don't have to be that way. You can be free. You know why? Because I'm free. The multitude followed him because they saw his signs. It wasn't verbose words. It wasn't something that he was saying all the time and not delivering. When Jesus said you can be free, he made you free. When you were hungry, he fed you. Come on, someone. Can you imagine if Jesus was standing there and blessing the bread and the fish, and he still only had 2 fish and 5 loaves? How many could he have fed? A family. Bring that. Send everybody else home, and you disciples come over here. Can you split it? You'll have to ration it. God meets needs. He meets needs. Impossible needs. Those words, Ricky, that were spoke over you by, I think, your father. Your father or mother or somebody in authority said, you're stupid, you'll never be any different. I don't know what it was, but God's releasing it right now in Jesus' name. That's a trap. It's been a trap for so long. been a trap for so long. God's releasing it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. So after Peter had, we talked Sunday about the tongues of fire that came in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter said in Acts 2:22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. How was Christ identified to unbelievers? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And Christ is exalted. Christ loves being the center of attention. It's all Jesus. Later on, the disciples prayed this in Acts 4:30, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So when we pray, God says, I want signs and wonders to happen. I want them to happen. I want them to happen more than you do. Asking is no problem. We say, God, we're asking. But God says, now you got to yield. Now you have to yield. If you want me to, I'm going to come in and clean up. Some of it's going to hurt, but the end product is going to be answered prayer. Some's going to be hurting. Some is going to be chastening. But God's going to get the work done and answer the prayer. Come on, someone. It's hard to hear the truth from God sometimes. Sometimes God speaks to us. It's a sign, a wonder, a miracle, but we've got to jettison some stuff in our lives if we're going to walk in that healing, if we're going to walk in that new place that God wants us. Going to have to give up temper. Your temper is going to be left right here, my friend. You got to hair trigger temper sometime. God said that's changing tonight. It's changing tonight. Your wife's going to get a meek and mild husband. Meek and mild husband. Amen. Amen. Shut up, Ohata Kashara. Take it. Just receive it, receive it, receive it. If you feel the Spirit of the Lord moving on you, just come up. I want to pray with you. I want to get my hands on you. And you say, well, I got prayed for Sunday and I got prayed for last Wednesday. Listen, every time they ask for prayer, I'm there. I want everything that God's got for me. Amen? Come on. Come on. God wants to touch you tonight. God wants to touch you and answer prayer. He's going to answer prayer. He's going to answer prayer. New heart, Chuck. New heart. New heart. Thank you, Lord. What are you asking God for?